Bibles to 1 Peter, and it's 1 Peter 5, verses 5 to 9. I mentioned to Russ a few weeks ago that I heard a talk that was really good about anxiety and worry. So Russ being Russ said, oh, can you share it with the church there? So basically, I'm out of breath after running. It's basically a 40-minute talk condensed to just under 10 minutes there. So if you like what you hear, do recommend you listen to the whole thing. If you go on YouTube, it's Elevation Church, and it's a talk called When Anxiety Attacks. Might not be everybody's kind of style, but the substance in the talk, I just thought, was just excellent there. I'll just read the passage. All of you clothe yourselves with humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud, but shows favour to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be alert and of sober mind. The enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of suffering. So, just what is anxiety? Well, I looked it up in the dictionary, and anxiety is a feeling of worry, nervousness or unease about a certain or uncertain outcome. So anxiety is worry. In this talk today, and in the verse that we looked at where it talks about anxiety, that's kind of the type of anxiety we're looking at. I'm not particularly talking about anxiety disorder or some kind of medical condition today. I'm just talking about our day-to-day worry, our day-to-day anxiety that can take over our lives. Some anxiety is actually okay. It's quite a natural response. If you're about to do an exam, you would quite rightly be anxious. If you're going to do a task for the first time, you might have some anxiety. In fact, scientists have shown in studies that people having the right type of anxiety actually perform better than those that couldn't be bothered, that those who are laid back. So a little bit is good, but there can become a point where we become too anxious, where something becomes so anxious that we can't even perform the task that we're asked to perform, or that we're so anxious that we avoid doing what we should be doing in the first place. And we can get so worried and anxious in our daily lives that something might be coming on later that day or this week that we just focus on that. We become so anxious about this one event that our mind is just concentrated there. And it's almost like our bodies are just going through day-to-day life, but our minds are somewhere else. And we get to that anxious situation. We get through it. It's probably never as bad as we thought it was going to be. We feel happy for a little bit, but then our mind can fixate on the next anxious situation. And you can feel in your life that life's just passing you by, that you're just going from one worry to the next without actually appreciating and using your life for God. And I'm just, in my own life, I'm just observing as I'm getting older, so many Christians are being robbed of their potential through worry. Amen. The people I've got in this church have got so many great gifts, and I think some people just afraid and anxious to use them. And just doing your day-to-day work and your day-to-day life, people being robbed. And it's no accident in this verse or in these verses where it talks about casting our anxiety on God. It also talks about the attack of the devil. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that all anxiety is down to the devil. Some Christians blame everything on the devil. You come, oh, my phone ran out of battery. It was the devil. No, you didn't charge your phone. My boss, he's always on my case at work. He's always on my case. It's the devil. Might because you're not doing your job properly. Just a point there. But we are in a battle. In the talk, it's so cheesy because it's American, but he says the birthmark of a believer is a bullseye. Basically, when you become a Christian, the devil's got it in for you. He does not want you living the life that God wants you to live. And we're under attack. You're a marked man, you're a marked woman when you become a believer. And the devil will do anything to stop you reaching that potential. So why not use worry and anxiety, being your mind somewhere else that you can't be used for what God wants you to do? In this verse, it's quite good. He talks about the devil prowls around like a roaring lion. It's quite a scary image. If you've ever heard a lion roar, I heard one earlier this year in Chester Zoo of all places. Obviously, there's going to be lions there, but I've never heard them roar before. And we were miles away and we heard this roar. And I thought, what is that noise? And it was like, it sounds like a lion, but we were nowhere near. So we went over and the lions were roaring. And even behind the cage, it's quite a scary thing. Apart from Isaac, who decided to roar back, much to the amusement of the crowds there. But there was one good thing about a roaring lion. You know it's coming. I'd be more scared if it says that the devil prowls around like a lion, ready to devour. The word here, roaring, we know we're under attack, so we can prepare ourselves. And in these verses, it's you might think, if I was writing it, it would be like, your enemy prowls like a roaring lion, leg it. Do you know what I mean? Do a runner. But he doesn't. He says, resist him, standing firm in the faith. Sometimes when people talk about the devil, we can spiritual things, we can get a bit scared. But we've won the victory. Amen. We can stand firm. And it just says, resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of suffering. This was written in the context, Peter was writing this to a church that was under persecution. They had things to be anxious about. The church around the world is suffering. They have things to be, and you, quite rightly, probably have things that quite rightly to be anxious about. But you might have other things that you don't necessarily need to be anxious about, but you're struggling with it anyway. The thing about anxiety, and I think this is why it's such an attack on the mind, is it can be anybody. It can be from the person who has nothing, who is under attack in a village somewhere, to the person who is mega rich, who seems to have everything in order. They can struggle with anxiety. People around the world are going through the same kind of sufferings. So we'll get to the actual anxiety bit, and it comes in the verse where it says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. If there was ever a fridge magnet verse, it's that one. In fact, when I was Googling this, it was like a verse for the day. But what does it mean to cast our anxiety on him? We can say, oh, I'm casting my anxiety like I'm wishful thinking or I'm doing something, but what does it actually mean? Peter, as we know, was a fisherman, and you probably know the story in the Bible where he was, and the fishermen were fishing all night and they had their nets cast on one side of the boat and couldn't get anything. Jesus turned up. They didn't recognize it was Jesus at first. These hardcore fishermen and some man shouting, put it on the other side of the boat. So they did, and they got a full thing of fish. They cast the net on the other side. And in these verses, and we have to look at everything within the context, casting our anxiety on God, our worry, is about doing things God's way. Amen. Rather than our way. This actual passage isn't about anxiety. If you read the whole passage, it's about humility. It's a passage on humility. The anxiety bit is just an offside. If you actually read it, it's actually all one sentence. We can read it as separate things where it says, humble yourselves therefore under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. And you read in the NIV, full stop. And then you read, cast your anxiety on him before he cares for you. But in the original, in the ESV, well, ESV is not the original, but in the original, it's actually one sentence. It says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so at the proper time he may exalt you, comma, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. That's very important. The actual command that we're told to do isn't the casting part of our anxiety. The actual command we are told to do is to humble ourselves under God's mighty hand. The casting our anxieties is the application of that. When we put ourselves under God's mighty hand, our response to that is we put our anxieties on him. It's actually all about humility. A lot of our anxiety, and this is why I'm making it clear, I'm not talking about a medical condition or anything like that there. A lot of our anxiety and worries is when we put things on ourselves. We are trying to do it ourselves. It's cheesy in the talk. He puts the word anxiety up, and you look at the middle letter in anxiety, and it's I. It's about me. And he puts up pride and you see the I. A lot of the time, spiritually, our anxiety is due to our pride, that we think we can do it on our own, that we don't need God. And we are to put our, we're going to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. In the Old Testament, they knew about the mighty hand of God. With a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, God's people were led out of Egypt. They saw the great power. And just very quickly, God's hand can represent many things. First of all, it can represent God's plan for our life. A few of you went on the streets telling people, do you know God's got a plan for your life? But are we actually living that on a day-to-day basis? A lot of our anxieties can come from us trying to do our own plans rather than God's. That can be on a day-to-day basis, that we want everything to run smoothly. And if anything goes wrong, we get worried. We worry about that. It might be some people that have got a 5-year plan or a 10-year plan. They have your life mapped out. And when things don't seem to go, I thought I'd be in this situation at this point, and you're not actually there, you start to get anxious. But did you know God's plan is far better than your plan? Put your hand, humble yourself under God's plan for your life. Don't try and do it. Oh, sorry, I just thought I was there. It can also stand for God's provision. When we humble God's provision. And look, how many of our stresses come from, do we have enough? Or some people, you're anxious that you're going to have enough food on the table at the end of the day. You get anxious enough that you're going to have a job, that you sometimes worry that something's going to go wrong and you're not going to be able to provide for yourself or your family. God asks you, who is your provider? God says, I am your provider. Humble yourself under God's mighty hand. And the other one, it can, they're all three P's, it's so cheesy, is God's protection. I think particularly this day and age with 24-hour news and TV, you can look at the world situation and you can be scared to death, can't you? What if there's nuclear war? What if it all just goes horribly wrong? And you can, and people are struggling with this anxiety of the world situation. But you've got to ask, whose hand is the world in? And it's in God's mighty hand. And it says, you'll be raised up in due time. Peter knew about this. Peter had actually seen the hand of God. He'd seen Jesus. And if you think about the story when he was walking on water towards Jesus, it says, and I haven't got the verses up here, when he began to sink, immediately Jesus put his hand out and lifted him up. Peter knew the reality. And even if we are going through struggles and anxious situations, in due time, it might be the end of our lives when Jesus returns, we will be raised up with him. I just want to finish as I started about how there's a lot of talent in this room. And in the Bible, there's the parable of the talents or the gold coins, and different people get different coins, and the master goes away and they've got to invest it in certain ways. And some of them, and they double the money. But one of them hid it in the ground and he came back and the master's like, well, why have you done that? And in it, he says, I did it because I was afraid. And I think that's really stood out to me. A lot of people in there have got talents, ways they can contribute just in their daily lives or just to the church, but you're held back because you're anxious or you're too worried. It can't be bringing a contribution in the morning, getting involved with the music or different things like that. Don't be robbed of your potential there.